The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church in Ocala, Alabama. To find out more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.
Not to be compared to it. Now, there's lots of things in this world that we could desire. But the Bible says out of every single thing you could desire, that wisdom is better than all of those.
Amen.
So wisdom is something that we should not take lightly.
Right.
Wisdom is something that we should think about, and we should hope that it goes before us as our guide throughout this life. Now, before I go any further, let me give you this. The Bible talks about two types of wisdom. Okay? The Bible talks about over in James, the third chapter, it talks about a wisdom that is not from above.
Right.
It talks about a wisdom that's described as earthly and devilish. That sounds bad.
Yeah.
And sensual. There's a wisdom that is earthly and devilish and sensual, but then there is a wisdom that is from above. And that wisdom, it says, is pure and is peaceable and is full of mercy, and it doesn't show partiality, and it's not hypocritical. There are two types of wisdom. There's a wisdom of the world, and there's a wisdom that comes from above, a wisdom that comes from God. What the Bible teaches us, it's the wisdom that comes from God that as a child of God we need to embrace. Now, the wisdom of the world, one of the words that's used to describe it is sensual. Now, I want you to think about that for a second.
Right.
I thought about a lot of different examples, but for the sake of time, I'm not going to go into too many examples to paint that picture, but I will say this. The wisdom of the world may come to you and say this. The wisdom of the world may come to you in the form of a job offer. And it may say, listen, I know you're struggling. I know you're struggling financially. I know you've got a lot of bills to pay. I know you've got a lot of debt that you need to pay off. And I've got a proposition for you. I'm going to offer you a job. It means you're going to have to change careers. You're going to make double what you make. But you're going to have to work on Sundays. You're going to have to travel a lot and be away from your family. But the money that you will make, and I'm going to send you on the funnest trips, and all these business trips. I'm going to send you on all kind of fun business trips to Hawaii and all these different places and pay you double what you're making now. The sensual part of us thinks, man, that would be really hard to pass up. You know, here's a job offer that I'm going to make twice what I make, and I get to go on all these wonderful trips. Now, the negative is I'm going to have to miss church every Sunday and be away from my family, 6 months out of the year. But man, the money, the wisdom of the world says you can't pass this up. The wisdom of the world says this is too great. Why is that the wisdom of the world? Because it's playing to that fleshy, sensual part of you that just is greedy.
Right.
But the wisdom that comes from God says it is better to be in the house of God and to be with my family there to train my children and support my wife than to have all the riches in the world.
Amen.
The wisdom of God looks at the wisdom of the world and calls it foolishness.
Right, right.
The wisdom of the world looks at the wisdom of God and calls it foolishness.
Right.
So we're talking about the wisdom of God. So before you go out there and you have a decision to make before you, there are going to be two ways you can look at it, through the eyes of the wisdom of the world or through the eyes of the wisdom of God. And sometimes the wisdom of the world is going to be so convincing to you that you'll say, it's too good to pass up. Not realizing the value maybe of just being with your family. The value, my goodness, the value of being in the house of God. Don't forsake those things. So there's two types of wisdom. Now, I want to talk to you for just a second about how to get it. How to get wisdom. Now, you may have seen cartoons, you may have seen movies, and they'll portray wisdom something like this. Somebody may come up to somebody else and say, you know what, I've got this issue, and I need some guidance, I need some wisdom. I'll say, okay, well, what you need to do is go see the wise old owl. You need to go up this treacherous mountain and these falling rocks and this slippery, and you need to spend days traveling up, through this dangerous path up this treacherous mountain. And when you get to the top of the mountain, which is going to take you days to get there, if you even survive getting there, go through, and you're going to go through these tunnels and all stuff, and you're going to find this deep, dark cave. And in that deep, dark cave sits the wise old owl. And if you want some wisdom, that's what you're going to have to do to go get it. Brother, that's not the wisdom of the Bible. The wisdom of the Bible in Proverbs, the first chapter, wants to be found. The wisdom of the Bible says, I'm standing here in the streets. I'm calling out to you, and I'm uttering with my voice saying, I am right here. I'm ready to pour out my spirit on you and pour out my knowledge on you. See, wisdom is not something in a far, treacherous mountain path away. Wisdom wants to be found. Wisdom is saying, I'm right here. Just listen to me, and I will pour all of this out on you if you'll just seek me and look for me. The definition that we started with, or the verse that we started with, For says, happy is the man that what? That findeth wisdom. All right, so wisdom is standing there crying out. It's up to us to look and say, there is wisdom. I'm going to pursue it. Now, if we're going to get wisdom, there's two principal ways I found in the Bible about how we get wisdom. Understand that wisdom wants to be found.
Right.
Wisdom wants to be found. James tells us in the first chapter, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and he will give you liberally. He will give you an abundance of it. He won't just sprinkle a little wisdom here. And, you know, it's not like you, don't get this idea in your mind that you go to bed one night, 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, you get on your knees and you say, Lord, would you please give me wisdom? You know, and you said you'll give me liberally, and I'm asking you now for wisdom, and wisdom wants to be found. You go to sleep and you wake up the next morning just making the best decisions you ever made in your life. If there's any place in the Bible where you need to be importunate or persistent about asking for something, it is wisdom. And I've asked for wisdom over and over and over and over, and I never felt any different after I prayed it than before I prayed it. But I can look back on my life and say, you know what? There was a decision that had to be made, and I'm so thankful that in that moment I was able to see beyond just what was right in front of me. I'm glad that I was able to look at that and see the dangers in that and the pitfalls in that, and I'm so glad that I saw that situation for what it truly was. You know what that was? An answer to a prayer.
Amen.
That the Lord gave me a vision and an ability to see something that otherwise I may not have ever seen.
Right.
So wisdom comes in the form of that. But it says, I'll give to you liberally if you ask for it. Now, who do we think about it? Do we not think about Solomon? In 1 Kings, the 3rd chapter, where Solomon, the Lord comes to Solomon, while he's at Gibeon in a dream, and basically says, what do you want? I'll grant you a wish. What do you want? That's basically what he said to it. And Solomon, very young there, you can read about it in 1 Kings, the 3rd chapter. Solomon says, I'm just a youth. I'm just young, and you've put me in charge of leading these people, your people, Lord. And he says, Lord, give me understanding. Give me wisdom.
Right.
Do you know what Solomon was asking for? What he was doing? He was asking for wisdom just like the Lord instructs us to ask for it.
Amen.
Solomon said, Lord, I need wisdom. I need to be able to see things as they truly are. I need to be able to see the dangers and the pitfalls that are out before me. I need to be able to see the blessings of things of making this decision, how it's going to be blessed, or how to make this decision. It's going to be devastating to me and destroy my life. Solomon said, I need that, Lord. And the Lord was so taken back by Solomon's response, he not only gave him wisdom, and it says more than any had before or any that would come after. He was so pleased with what Solomon said that he gave him that measure of wisdom, and then he gave him all the other stuff too.
That's right.
He said, you didn't ask for the hand of your enemies, you didn't ask for all these riches, and you didn't ask for lands and all that stuff. He said, I'm going to give you that anyway.
Amen.
Wisdom is a big deal, folks. Wisdom is a big deal.
Amen.
If we desire wisdom, the first place we need to start is to pray and ask the Lord to give it to us.
Right.
It is not something you go down to CVS and you buy a pill that says wisdom and you pop it and you start making all these wonderful decisions. It's something that we should seek after and we should pray over, and we'd ask the Lord to give us and pray that he gives it to us in abundance. Now, that's one way to get it, is to ask and to pray about it. The other way to get it is really what I wanted to tell you. Proverbs, the 13th chapter, says this. Now listen to this, especially you young people. It says, he that walketh with the wise men shall be wise.
Amen.
That's paraphrasing there. But he that walketh with the wise man shall be wise. Now listen, you can argue with me till you're blue in the face if you want to on this, but I will go to my grave believing that who you hang around is who you will eventually become like.
Amen.
Now, the Bible says that evil communications corrupt good manners, and I'm telling you, if I were to make the decision today that I'm no longer going to come into this church, I'm no longer going to pick up my Bible, I'm no longer going to spend time with my family, but I'm going to go hang around people all day, every day, that go out, they're not concerned with the things of God, they're not concerned with church, they do all manner of revelry and vileness in this world, with enough time,
yep,
I will be just like them.
That's right.
With enough time. I'm as convinced of that as I am the salvation is by grace alone.
Amen, brother.
But it goes the other way. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. It also says, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Why? Because you'll become a fool. The Bible tells us, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a foolish man thou shalt not go. Why? Lest thou learn his ways and become a snare to thy soul. So if you walk with those people, you're going to become just like those people. But if you walk with wise men, the Bible says you shall be wise. You can ask the Lord to give it to you liberally, or you can find men and women that are wise and walk with them through this life, and guess what? It will rub off on you. I'm thankful that I had a wise, godly set of parents. I'm thankful that I had some wise, godly friends growing up. I'm thankful that so many of you here are wise that I can walk with and become wiser as I walk with you. Sometimes I may pick up a book. It may be reading a book that's the definition of walking there. I may pick up a book and read about an elder that lays his life out, you know, and the trials that he had and the tribulations that he had and how he handled those. And I'll sit there and think, man, I'd have never thought in a million years to have handled it that way. But there's something about exposing myself to this brother's wisdom that affects me, and I want to incorporate that line of thinking into my life. Be around wise people.
Amen.
Now, I've said already in this verse that happy is the man that findeth wisdom. Blessed is the man that findeth wisdom. It's for all people here, but especially young people. As you start the journey of life, as you come out from under your mother and your father, and you begin to make all these decisions in your life, who you're going to marry. Brother Tim's preached on it several times. Who you're going to marry, where you're going to work, what you're going to do for a living, the friends that you're going to have, where you're going to go to church, all those types of things. You need to look at that with wisdom as your guide. You need to be circumspect about those things, because you may make a decision right now, not realizing that the decision you make right now will ultimately lead to your destruction. Now, the thing about it is, sometimes the things that we do, whether sinful or obedient, the effects of those are rarely immediately seen.
That's right.
You ever thought about that?
Yeah.
I can do something right now that is 100% obedient to God and not realize how that impacts my life 10 years later.
Amen.
I could do something right now, sinful and wicked and totally against God's word, and tomorrow I'm fine. The next day I'm fine. 2 weeks, 2 years from now I'm fine. But eventually, as the Bible says, be sure your sins will find you out.
Amen.
The Bible also tells us that he blesses those that are obedient in what? In due time.
Right.
And the problem that we have so many times as God's people is that we have so much trouble looking at our current circumstances and being able to associate that with decisions that we've made in the past. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
We have trouble looking at our current circumstances and saying, oh, I'm in this situation because of this,
right,
and this, this, whether good or bad.
Right.
Now, I've got a godly wife. I mean, I can't say enough about her. But you know what? I listened to my mom and daddy when they told me she was a good one. It could have gone the other way. My mom and daddy could have said, well, that one's a bad one. Well, you need to stay away from that one, right? I'm thankful that I had wise people in my life to help me. I've made plenty of foolish decisions. But if I had not have listened to my parents back here, I wouldn't have the godly wife I have today. All right? Decisions that you make today will affect you for the rest of your life, although you may not see it on down the road. I tell you one thing that just makes my skin crawl sometimes is for somebody to make foolish decisions back here and then end up in a mess back here and then say this, well, it's just God's will. There's nothing that makes me want to run my head through that wall quicker than somebody blaming God for our bad decisions.
Amen.
We make bad decisions sometimes, but we choose to be foolish rather than wise, because sometimes walking in wisdom means that you have to tell that old sinful, wicked flesh no. It means you got to tell that flesh, I know that seems pleasing to you. I know that that will make you like everybody else, and you think that'll get you more friends, and that'll get you married quicker than everybody else, and you'll blah, 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 and all this, that, and the other. I know your flesh likes that, but wisdom says, look at what it will lead to.
Right.
That's wisdom.
Amen.
The Bible says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom.
Amen.
I pray that we will pray that we could find wisdom, that the Lord would give us wisdom. And I would encourage you to find those wise people in your life. And chances are, young people, they're not going to be young people.
Amen.
Surround yourself with the old generation, with the people that have been there, and seek their wisdom and draw off their wisdom. And it just might save you some terrible heartache in the future. So I hope that that's been beneficial to you. Thank you for your attention.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.